All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on, we have our second interview for the program, Jonathan. So, yeah, good morning, Jonathan.
Jacob, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, so I'm just going to go pass it on to Chloe to introduce you formally, which I was just doing that as a way of testing the kind of sound, but it seems to all work perfectly. So, yeah, pass it on to
Thanks,
Chloe.
Thanks, Jonathan. You're coming in loud and clear. So just for listeners, we have with us this morning Jonathan Lockhart, who is a visual artist, experimental musician and activist. You can also listen to his podcast, Cry Baby Sleep. And Jonathan's coming to us from Sydney. Welcome, Jonathan. You recently wrote an article in Green Left addressing critical race theory and the right's latest target in the culture wars. First of all, Jonathan, just for listeners who aren't familiar with that term, also because of the deliberate moral panic and confusion that's surrounding it by conservative pundits, can you please just firstly tell us what critical race theory refers to and where and how it did originate?
That's not a problem. Critical race theory, it largely ends up becoming what we know it as today around the late 1970s, like early 1980s, through different, I guess you could say, legal avenues in the university through Derek Bell, Kimberly Crenshaw, Richard Delgado, and others. Those early beginnings, you can kind of see what the basis of critical race theory is, which is a look at legal formalism, okay, and critiquing it, and jurisprudence when it comes to the law. But since then, it started to reflect different social and cultural aspects of race and racism. So, a lot of people tend to look towards, they look at incarceration rates, health rates, and these sorts of things. End up becoming the purview when we have that intersection, when we think about race, racism, and jurisprudence of the law.
Thanks, Jonathan. That was a really good introduction. I was wondering also if you could comment on the fact that undermining critical race theory promotes the idea that anti-racist work itself is racist against white people. I guess why are the attacks on critical race theory so worrying? And you do mention in your article white fragility, the fact that it's never spoken about as something that is violent, but rather an issue of people being anxious to talk about race.
To kind of also piggyback off of the first question about the conservative pundits, and along with this critical race theory or diversity trainings and these sorts of things being like the work of new segregation or anti-white racism, as I pointed out in the article, and this is me making a personal opinion note right here, in that a lot of this rhetoric and a lot of the ideas, I think, are being kind of funneled down through right wing or like libertarian think tanks. So I think a lot of this, as I pointed out in the article, comes from places like the Manhattan Institute, Hoover Institute, these sorts of right wing, I guess you could say, academic the foundations, and largely ends up becoming an attack on education and on schooling. But because of this, yeah, as you pointed out, like these conversations around white fragility or anger or rage when it comes to the intersection of race becomes the purview of these think tanks, and they have to demonize it, for lack of a better way to put it.
Thanks, Jonathan. I guess I just wanted to move on to the anti critical race theory, or we'll just call it CRT for short, anti-CRT bills. As part of the backlash against the Black Lives Matter protest movement that rose up following the murder of George Floyd by the police last year, can we maybe discuss the attacks? I guess you did sort of mention it, the attacks on CRT that are being led by anti-affirmative action activists. I guess you did sort of address that, but if you had anything else to add.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. That's not a problem. There's no issue there. As we had stated earlier, a lot of this in my personal opinion a lot of this kind of comes under the purview, as we've seen over the last 4 to 5 years, the right wing sort of like making the universities their home base, for lack of a better word. Progressive academics have been pointing this out, that the marriage between these so-called libertarian think tanks, and their presence amongst the collegiate staff and amongst students had become sort of an issue, and it's a lot of other issues. Last year kind of came to a precipice through protests around the death of George Floyd and the subsequent as we're speaking, the sentencing of Derek Chauvin. Largely, I think that these two intersections between the universities and students, as I was saying before, and the attack on education and on the ground protests, grassroots activists coming together around issues, specifically, as I stated earlier, of like legal formalism, critiquing it, and race and racism. We're seeing that the right wing, that's like one of the last things that they want, is giving people a robust way in order to understand these sort of social and cultural phenomena.
Yeah, just to come in, I just want to sort of relate it to, this is something that also relates, I think, to Australia and also, I think, Canada as well. And I kind of want to hear your kind of comments on this kind of anti-CRT kind of push actually links to the kind of general kind of trajectory of the right in terms of actually refusing to kind of acknowledge or the actual reality of American history, i.e. Americans' history is founded on the dispossession of Native Americans, but also founded on the slavery of African Americans. And I think I want to kind of hear your comments on how all this kind of links to this kind of general kind of culture war by the right on the acknowledging the true history of these kind of settler colonial kind of states like the United States. And of course, this thing extends to what's happening in Canada and Australia as well.
Absolutely. You hit a few nails on the head there, Jacob, because as I've been trying to make inroads about when it comes to this topic, one of the main things being largely the anti-CRT, anti-affirmative action, etc., these so-called activists, these right-wing activists, their big thing has been largely an attack on education. One of that is creating this sort of American exceptional, North American exceptional, and also here this kind of great Australia myth, and this recoding and a repainting of history, this constant reimagining of history, as opposed to just even coming to the precipice of some of the animus of what may be the true fabric of what makes some of these societies truly tick. And as you pointed out, some of those, and especially in Australia's case and in Canada's case, that being a settler colonial genocidal program, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean? We're not trying to, you know what I mean, lob huge stones here or anything, but that's one of the realities of what's going on. And critical race theory, as I said before, looks at issues that say, you know what I mean, around settler colonial instances of laws, constitutions in the U.S. We see it used, especially one of its watershed moments is the critiquing of Brown versus Board of Education, which, you know, like I said, led on for Plessy versus Ferguson, which gave a separate but equal, and Brown versus Board of Education was like the first inroad towards, you know what I mean, the breaking up, the shattering of that idea in the United States. And I'm sure that there's multiple instances of indigenous pushback and indigenous resistance and those sorts of purviews as well. And one of the things that this anti-CRT rhetoric does, like I said, focusing on education, is taking that robust language and that history away from marginalized people.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just want to ask maybe one more question before we wrap up the interview. You probably would have heard on the 21st of June, One Nation Pauline Hanson received coalition senators' support to pass a motion to ban and really reject critical race theory being taught in schools here. And this was raised in response to proposed changes in the national curriculum, which was announced in April, to include more accurate discussion on, you know, First Nations people's experience of colonization, including using the term invasion. And earlier this year, you probably would have, listeners would probably have heard as well that the Assistant Attorney General, Amanda Stoker, expressed a lot of, you know, worry around the fact that the Australian Human Rights Commission is pursuing an anti-racism campaign, you know, saying that, you know, they were worried about using terms like anti-racism, you know, saying it was too close to critical race theory. Would you be able to sort of, you know, say what this Senate motion, you know, might mean for education in Australian schools, or, you know, maybe address some of the controversies around this? Because, you know, there's no doctrine being rolled out. There are no, you know, programs in Australian universities teaching it. It's not taught in schools. So, you know, why is there, you know, fear-mongering around critical race theory? It's just a bit... Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Not to, continue to beat the same horse from earlier in our conversation, but a lot of this comes down from dialogue trees and these ideas from libertarian and right-wing think tanks. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things, I guess you could say, as this quote-unquote cultural import from the United States to here, is that if you were to look into some of the underlying policies or legislation that they want to push through along with these so-called sensitive word bannings and re-engineering of curricula, is that this is the purview, this is the nature of free market enterprise at work here, is that it's a lot of blackballing and limiting of speech and limiting of the ideas of free speech and liberalism, right? And then on the other hand, the only things that they have for you are free market solutions. You know what I mean? So privatizing schools, privatizing curricula, et cetera. So the first thing that's that comes to my mind when I think about this whole deal with Pauline Hanson and the coalition, and they're not even being, to my knowledge, and maybe someone can correct me here, there's not even a K through year 12 curriculum in the country that would even teach anything akin to, I mean, like critical race theory. We're talking about something that's like the purview of, like, you know, graduate students at Stanford and Harvard. I'm not sure what Pauline Hanson's, you know what I mean? Like I said, it just seems more like a Trojan horse for people to just have these mad proclivities around this, approaching the animus around race and racism. And as I said again, what would be the solution here around or curtailing them? It seems like a lot of instances where the coalition would have to step in and to provide the quote unquote the adequate curriculum for these schools. And it sounds like privatization to me. As far as like Amanda Stoker, I saw a few things about her comments and things around like these anti-racism campaigns and things like this. And it's largely to, like I said, just to draw the animus away from the actual environment, which again, like I said, is an attack on students and it's an attack on education.
Yeah. Well said, well put, Jonathan. It's just really strange that, you know, a lot of critics against critical race theory seem to have absolutely no idea what it is. But
no
anyway,
clue whatsoever.
Yeah, no idea. I guess we'll start to wrap up. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Did you have any sort of last comments that you want to finish on at all?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Again, thank you guys so much. Thanks, Chloe. Thanks, Jacob, for having me on the show this morning. I really appreciate it. The struggle continues. And like I said, if you were to actually open up the hood on this so-called culture war that the right is enacting against critical race theory and any other, I guess you could say, progressive theory that's going to come down the pipe, realize that the environment in which the fight is taking place is where the right wing wants to take your thoughts away from. And that in this case is like I said, blacklisting speech, limiting the abilities and curricula of teachers and fighting students. If that's from, you know what I mean, from any working class background.
Thanks so much, Jonathan, for speaking to us today. And for listeners, just that was Jonathan Lockhart speaking to us about critical race theory and the right's latest target in culture wars. And you can find his article in Green Left.
Greenleft.org.au in the world section. So, yeah, it's actually one of the feature articles, I think, of this week's Green Left. So if you get a copy of this week's Green Left or just look up on a website, you can have a bit of a read, I guess, of the article. I just want to kind of add just one little thing, just one little note, just listeners' kind of information, because we're sort of talking about the question around the Australian curriculum. And as someone who is sort of studying and working, well, I'm studying to be a teacher at some point, my knowledge of that is it's not necessarily part of the Australian curriculum that critical race theory is sort of part of it, but there are sort of aspects of within the curriculum, like probably related to, you know, addressing issues of student well-being and health, because there is kind of like racism is sort of like, you know, racism is sort of something that is part of the curriculum. So teaching children about racism or teenagers, it is actually something sort of part of the curriculum. So there are sort of things within the Australian curriculum that are sort of inspired by critical race theory. And of course, then critical race theory is really, it's like the purview of a lot of basic sort of sociology courses. But I guess one of the kind of things to kind of note is that there is a whole right-wing kind of push, even at universities, because basically universities are sort of going towards this kind of system of putting more funding towards the science and engineering courses at the expense of the arts. And, of course, the first things they kind of seem they cut is like Indigenous studies kind of courses and so on. So that's just a bit of a trend. But I don't think it necessarily links – it doesn't completely link with – everything kind of the far right is pushing. In fact, the far right is actually just pushing more hysteria. They're actually trying to make an argument that universities and the education system are more left wing than what they actually are. So yeah, that's just a kind of last sort of comment to sort of add just a bit of information, to that context. Anyway, I'll just go play a quick announcement and then we'll probably go to the Green Left Activist Calendar. You're listening to Green Left Radio.